bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show will be focused on the mass shootings in the United States and that have been occurring for some time now. And we want to get right into it because this is a very important topic for us in the WINGS program. And having 30 years of work with inmates in prison, in recovery homes, and working with people who are truly, out there for different reasons, if you will, people who have different agendas, has been part of the WINGS program. And we've seen many of our men, you know, who are incarcerated, carrying weapons without a permit. But I want to give you some information here because I truly believe in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. I truly believe in the right for people to defend themselves and their families, which is so important. And so the following mass shootings are the deadliest to have occurred in modern U.S. history. Only incidents with 10 or more fatalities by gunshots, excluding those of the perpetrators, are included. And the list starts in 1949, the year in which Howard Unruh committed his shooting, which was the first in modern U.S. history to incur 10 or more fatalities. And as we look at the list, the first took place in Las Vegas in the year 2017. And we basically are looking at this list, which accounts for the most people who were killed and the most injuries that were incurred due to semi-automatic rifles or bolt-action rifle or revolver. So in 2017, the Las Vegas shooting took place and 60 people were killed, 867 were injured. In 2016, in an Orlando nightclub shooting, 49 people were killed and 58 people were injured from a semi-automatic rifle and pistol. The Virginia Tech shooting in the year 2007 in Blacksburg, Virginia, 32 people were killed, 23 people were injured. It was a semi-automatic pistol. Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in the year 2012 in Newtown, Connecticut. 27 people were killed and 2 people were injured. There was a semi-automatic rifle with bolt-action rifle and pistol. Sutherland Springs Church shooting in 2017 in Texas. 26 people were killed and 22 people were injured. It was a semi-automatic rifle. Luby's shooting in 1991 in Killeen, Texas. 23 people were killed, 27 injuries were incurred with a semi-automatic pistol. In El Paso, Texas, a Walmart shooting where 23 people were killed, 23 people were injured, was a semi-automatic rifle. San Ysidro McDonald's Massacre, 1984 in San Diego, California. 22 people were killed and 19 people were injured once again, a semi-automatic carbine pistol and shotgun. Rob Elementary School shooting in the year 2022 in Uvalde, Texas. 21 people were killed and 18 people were injured. It was a semi-automatic rifle. University of Texas tower shooting in 1966 in Austin, Texas. 17 people were killed and 31 people were injured. It was a bolt-action rifle, semi-automatic carbine revolver, semi-automatic pistols, and pump-action shotgun. Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in 2018 in Parkland, Florida, killed 17 people and 17 were injured with a semi-automatic rifle. Fort Hood shooting in 2009 in Killeen, Texas, 14 people were killed and 32 people were injured with a semi-automatic pistol and revolver. San Bernardino attack in 2015 in California, where 14 people were killed and 24 people were injured with a semi-automatic rifle. Edmund Post office shooting in 1986 in Oklahoma killed 14 people and 6 were injured with a semi-automatic pistol. And the Columbine High School massacre, which took place in 1999 in Colorado, killed 13 and injured 24 with a semi-automatic carbine and semi-automatic pistol and shotguns. The Binghamton, New York shooting in 2009 killed 13 and injured 4 with a semi-automatic pistol. The Camden, New Jersey shooting in 1949 killed 13 people and 3 were injured with semi-automatic pistol. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania shooting in 1982. 13 people were killed and 1 injured with a semi-automatic rifle. Wami massacre in 1983 in Seattle, Washington killed 13 and injured 1 with a semi-automatic pistol and or revolvers. Aurora Theater shooting in 2012 in Colorado killed 12 and 70 were injured with a semi-automatic rifle, pistol, and shotgun. Thousand Oaks shooting in 2018 in California, 12 were killed and 16 were injured with a semi-automatic pistol. The Washington Navy Yard shooting in 2013 in Washington, D.C. killed 12 and 8 were injured with a semi-automatic pistol and shotgun. The Virginia Beach shooting in 2019 in Virginia killed 12, injured 4 with a semi-automatic pistol. Monterey Park shooting in the year 2023 in California, which was very recent, killed 11 and 9 were injured with a semi-automatic pistol. Pittsburgh synagogue shooting in the year 2018 in Pennsylvania, 11 were killed and 6 were injured with a semi-automatic rifle and pistol. Easter Sunday massacre in 1975 in Hamilton, Ohio, killed 11 and no injuries with semi-automatic pistols and revolver. Santa Fe High School shooting in 2018 in Texas killed 10, 13 were injured with a shotgun and revolver. Geneva County shootings in Alabama in the year 2009 killed 10, injured 6 with a semi-automatic rifle and revolver. Buffalo, New York shooting in the year 2022 killed 10 and injured 3 with a semi-automatic rifle. Boulder, Colorado shooting in the year 2021 killed 10 and 1 was injured with a semi-automatic pistols. And the Palm Sunday massacre in 1984 in Brooklyn, New York killed 10, no injuries with a semi-automatic pistol. And I share that information with you, my friends, because our work truly is in this area. And in the Wings program, we've dealt with many men who have been involved with shootings. But the massacres, which are very, very powerful in numbers, are truly what we're focusing on today. And I'll just tell you that when it comes to mass shootings in the United States, they are incidents involving multiple victims of firearm-related violence. Definitions vary with no single broadly accepted definition. One definition is an act of public firearm violence, excluding gang killings, domestic violence, or terrorist acts sponsored by an organization in which a shooter kills at least four victims. Using this definition, one study found that nearly one-third of the world's public mass shootings between 1966 and the year 2012 occurred in the United States. Using a similar definition, the Washington Post records 163 mass shootings in the United States between the year 1967 and June 2019. And so, as we lay out the statistics for mass shootings, we want to, you know, lay it out for people in a simple way so we understand that it's not the gun that is the bad, but it's the person who makes a decision to kill someone, to kill four people or more, to take the lives of many people. And in the list we read, up to 60 people were killed and 800 and somewhat people were injured in that Las Vegas shooting. And so why do people do this? And this is important. Why do people make a decision to take the lives of other people? And in the Wings program, we've had many people who were incarcerated for homicide. And one of the individuals that comes to mind who was charged with four homicides, an individual who basically was in an argument with his brother, and his brother attacked him, stabbed him. He came back and killed his brother. You know, that was the charge. And for the next 3 days, he actually carjacked three individual people one day at a time, took the car and took their lives. So maybe out of desperation, in any case, he technically took the lives of four people. And in this definition, you know, it's termed as a mass shooting, but not in one day. And so, and in other cases, we've seen people take the lives just because they were told to do so. Taking the lives of another person. We had an individual coming out of a nightclub with his girlfriend, and a friend of his who was involved in an argument outside the nightclub gave him a gun, put it right in his hand. As soon as he walked out of the club, he told him to shoot this guy. And he did. And he took the life of that individual. So it was unplanned. And so these kinds of mass shootings are more, require more planning, but and access to weapons for sure. But we want to look at the mental health aspect of the individuals who are involved in mass shootings. A panel of mental health and law enforcement experts has estimated that roughly one-third of the acts of mass violence defined as crimes in which four or more people were killed since the 1990s were committed by people with a serious mental illness, SMI. However, the study emphasized that people with an SMI are responsible for less than 4% of all the violent acts committed in the United States. But one-third, okay, of the acts of mass violence defined as crimes in which four or more people were killed since the 1990s were committed by people with a serious mental illness. So mental illness is very important. How we treat people with mental illness is key. And we want to be careful that we're not overlooking things and putting the blame early on the weapon, okay, and weapon of choice. And it's important to know that a lot of people who are incarcerated today suffer from mental illness. So how we treat mental illness is key. And, you know, we've had many people in the Wings program who suffer from depression. With incarceration comes a lot of depression. But also, people on the outside who are walking around free can also suffer from depression and dissatisfaction. In one of the most recent shootings, which took place in California, where 11 people were killed, this was a disgruntled employee. And we've seen that in the post office. We've seen that in different places where people were upset with the way they were treated in certain situations. So it's important to take a look at why these mass shootings have taken place. In other cases, we've seen people who have taken it upon themselves to, you know, kill many people because they had access to weapons, but also because they were mistreated in their homes. And that is one of the things that we want to bring out today. You know, the Lord says to treat others as you would like to be treated. The golden rule. Are we practicing the golden rule? Are we doing all that we can to make people, you know, basically aware of the fact that God is present? Bringing the love of God, the peace of God, through the word of God into the homes, into the lives of everyone, I think is a an objective that we should all strive to, bring to the table. It's very, very critical, my friends, as we look at, the actual mass shootings in the United States. How do we solve the problem? How do we reduce the numbers? Why are they happening? What can you and I do to, stop these kinds of things from occurring? What part can we play? And certainly, there are many people who are, carrying weapons today. They have carry permits. And there are many people who are using weapons for target shooting. It's recreational. We have many, many, ranges out there, which is a beautiful thing to go to the range and to enjoy target shooting. Some people use a bow and arrow. Other people use revolvers. Other people will use, a variety of different types of rifles. But there's nothing wrong with recreational shooting. Once again, we stand clear that we are for the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. But also, there's a recreational side to it, which requires education, training, background checks. It's all positive. But here, when we talk about mass shootings, once again, we're looking at the fact that a third of them are occurring because of mental health. And then there's a percentage in there where people are dissatisfied with what it is that's happening on the job or in the environment they're working in or going into, and they've taken it upon themselves to basically take the lives of many people. So again, what can you and I do to change that, and to work on this? And to be clear that according to the New York Times, there is no common profile of people who carry out mass shootings in the United States, except that they are mostly men. By race, according to a study, the proportion of mass shooters in the United States who are white is about equal to the overall proportion of white people in the general population of the United States. And with regard to high access to guns, higher accessibility and ownership of guns has been cited as a reason for the U.S.'s high rate of mass shootings. Now, just because we have access to something doesn't mean that we're going to take it, into work or school. Just recently, we had a young man, 6 years old, who had access to his mother's weapon and took it into school and shot a teacher. A six-year-old. And this is, you know, incredible how a six-year-old would have access to a weapon that was loaded and brought it into the school. And why did he shoot that teacher who was injured and who is now suing the school? But I just tell you that, my friends, our work in the Wings program is important because it's a faith-based program where we use aviation analogies to try to get people to build productive lives and make changes. And the changes are very important that they have to make. Here we're looking at and identifying weapons that are being used in mass shootings. But in many, many cases, these are not people who are incarcerated individuals with backgrounds. It's people out there who are dissatisfied with life. They are in depression. They are disgruntled employees, many of them. And they are people who have not been treated fairly. So I want to lay that out to you because it's important that we look at the root cause, just like an aviation accident. You know, what is the cause of the accident? This is very important. It must come out. And so we have to look at the root cause of why an individual takes the lives of 60 people, 17 people. Why does a six-year-old come into a school with a loaded weapon and shoot his teacher at 6 years old? We need to look at the root cause of why these things are occurring. In one of my classes, we had an individual who shot someone. He wasn't killed, but he shot him because he was tired of being bullied, which he, you know, said that he had been bullied for years. And he, you know, got a weapon and he, you know, took things into his own hands. And he served, you know, a lot of years because of that decision to take into his own hands and shoot someone after being bullied. So are people out there who are bullying other people? People in positions of authority, sometimes people who are, treating others in a way that they are, you know, at their limit, and now they've decided to do something, you know, that they really never thought of doing, but they've reached their limit. And a 2019 study published in the BMJ conducted a cross-sectional time series study of the United States from 1998 to 2015. The study found that states with more permissive gun laws and greater gun ownership had higher rates of mass shootings. And a growing divide appears to be emerging between restrictive and permissive states. The study specifically found that a 10% increase in state gun ownership was associated with a significant 35.1% higher rate of mass shootings. Partially adjusted regression analysis produced similar results, as did analysis restricted to domestic and non-domestic mass shootings. A 2020 study published in Law and Human Behavior examined the relationship of state gun laws and the incidence and lethality of mass shootings in the United States from 1976 to 2018. The study found that laws requiring permits to purchase a gun are associated with a lower incidence of mass public shootings, and bans on large capacity magazines are associated with fewer fatalities and non-fatal injuries when such events do occur. The study specifically found that large capacity magazine bans were associated with approximately 38% fewer fatalities and 77% fewer non-fatal injuries when mass shootings do occur. The American Psychiatric Association has endorsed assault weapons bans, high-capacity magazine bans and universal background checks as a way to curb gun violence in the United States. Now, there's no question that it's important, my friends, that you and I see the difference. And that, once again, you know, is it the man or is it the weapon? And in my assessment, it's always the man. What is the man doing? What is he thinking about? Is he happy or unhappy? Is he satisfied or dissatisfied with his state in life? What can we do to help other people to truly find more peace, more serenity, more of God's, heavenly serenity? This is important. What can you and I do, my friends, to help to reduce the number of mass shootings in the United States? And I think if we treat others in a better way, if we incorporate the golden rule wherever we go, if we help to solve problems, fill voids, satisfy needs, and do all that we can to get people to do the same, for people helping people, I think the world will be a better place. But we want to emphasize again that today's show, Finding God in Prison, is important because there have been so many mass shootings in the United States that we need to get it on the table. And we have men who have changed in the WINGS program, men who no longer carry weapons, men who were incarcerated for weapon charges and who no longer operate outside the law. And so with a lot of education and love and support, we can help to change people who are out there hoping to change the country one man at a time. And especially in our schools today where the young people are, we want to get to the root cause. We want to find out, why are these things happening? What can we do to prevent them in the future? That's just a textbook for us in aviation. Prevention, is on the horizon. If we learn from the past, if we learn the root cause, the reasons why things have occurred, and we basically educate, motivate, inspire people to do things differently in the future. So it's important, my friends, that we talked about this today. We're coming up on the end of our show. That's our program for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I challenge you, my friends, to do all that you can to help people, to help other people, and to bring the peace of God, the love of God, into the hearts and minds of everyone we come in contact with, trying to avoid depression, anxiety, and the things that go into the mental health and the root causes of these mass shootings into the United States. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.